Cultures of Compromise, an interview series conducted during the International Conference History and Theory of Compromise in June 2023, organized by the joint research project Cultures of Compromise. Interview with Dr. Elizabeth Anthony, conducted by Bitlem Zagiroglu and Tristan Hasek.
Hello and welcome, dear listeners, to one of our interviews which we conducted during the International Conference on the History and Theory of Compromise. The following interview is with Dr. Elizabeth Anthony. She was one of the keynote speakers at the conference and is a fantastic researcher at the Mandel Center for Advanced Holocaust Studies in Washington, D.C. At first, we wanted to know what she was expecting from attending the conference, especially concerning new insights on the topic of compromise and the interdisciplinary approach on compromise.
My expectations were high, and I would have a great interest of being with other people who have looked at compromise in history and through different disciplinary lenses in my own research, but also in my practical work at the Institute. The Mandel Center for Advanced Holocaust Studies have a great investment in interdisciplinary work and interdisciplinary study of our sort of Zeitgeschichte and Holocaust studies topics. And I am a historian, and our particular institute has always historically been historian heavy, and we're very interested in including the different disciplinary perspectives. So I was excited to come to this conference and see others working on compromise through history, but with the different lenses.
One of the problems with compromise is that it is often seen as a burden, an unsatisfactory solution, or a failure to original plans, and therefore is often not a very desirable solution for the conflict parties. In order to get some basic ideas on how to address this problem, we asked Dr. Anthony what she thinks would be a good approach to put compromise in a better light.
Well, I think that, you know, as a historian, we have the benefit of looking back and things having already unfolded, and we're able to analyze a compromise that may at the time have seemed negative or only half good or only halfway there to wherever one was aiming. But we can look back and see perhaps that it contributed to a larger good. It succeeded as a compromise to a larger goal. I think that particularly in analyzing through history and over time, one can see a benefit to it and then how it serves the actors.
After getting her solution proposal for the question on how to put compromises in a better light by focusing on the positive long-term effects compromises often have, we went on inquiring on how the compromise as a concept is seen in Dr. Anthony's country of research, namely Austria.
Accepted, I don't know if it's always recognized. I study Austria, and Austria's had long, you know, post-war history of, for many decades, not dealing with its past. You know, only since the 90s. They've done a good amount of work in the last few decades, but it took a very long time to get there. I think that, as I'll speak about later today, the kinds of compromises that were necessary for individuals to return to live in Austria contributed to sort of a larger national compromise of silence on the topic. And I think that this history of silence in Austria, Austria's particular silence, has left it that I don't know if there's always official recognition that a compromise has taken place.
After this insight that especially the silent post-war compromise, which took place in Austria, often isn't seen as one, we wanted to get into more details about Dr. Anthony's research area, the genocide studies. In particular, we were interested in how she came to such a special topic, such as the post-war Jewish community in Vienna.
So originally, I work at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum now as a historian, but originally I trained as a social worker, and I worked from 1998 to 2004 in our museum's Office of Survivor Affairs, working with Holocaust survivors and their families. And in 2004, I moved to Vienna and pretty naturally got involved with the Jewish community. You know, it was really an introduction. I had worked with survivors and was considered to be something of an expert on survivors in the United States. And suddenly I was in a place where Holocaust survivors had made a decision to return to their homes. And that sort of got me started. As far as the interaction with individuals and knowing Holocaust survivors, I really know a limited part of it. And that got me started really investigating my new home. And then a few years later, starting my PhD studies and doing it scientifically.
Compromise in post-war Germany was considered undesirable for a long period of time, as strong personalities, especially in politics, were supposed to be lone fighters. So we were interested in how compromise was seen in post-war Austria. A couple of questions prior to this one, Dr. Anthony already gave a general answer and was now giving us more detailed information on how it never was thought necessary to see the Austrian post-war compromise as a compromise.
Well, I think that the decades-long existence of an official victim myth in Austria, the idea that Austria and Austrians were the first victim of the Nazis, allowed Austrian leadership and citizens to blame the Germans. And so on an official level and a public level, no compromise was necessary because Austria had not existed from 1938 to 1945. It was only until Austria started to confront and recognize its participation and responsibility that we could even start to talk about any kind of official compromise or even begin to approach that, I think.
At the end, we wanted to ask Dr. Anthony what we, as scientists of different disciplines, can learn from the case of the post-war Jewish community in Vienna on the concept of compromise, its applications, prerequisites, and conditions.
I think that the main goal of returning Viennese Jews was to reconnect to being Viennese. This small handful of returnees, of survivors who went back, still saw Vienna as their home, and they wanted to reclaim that and regain that. And in order to do that, they may have gone back not knowing the compromises they might have to make, but they realized it soon after arriving. And then with these, some of them little day-to-day compromises, some of them larger themes of compromise in one's life, they did it. That's not to say there's not anti-Semitism. There's always been anti-Semitism in Vienna. They have to deal with that, and they do. There may be moments of personal compromise that don't always feel great or don't always give one the full extent of what they're seeking. But overall, it was possible to go back and reconnect and reclaim one's identity and home as Viennese. So,
after this interesting answer, we couldn't stop ourselves from asking another question. Based on the idea discussed at the conference, that a community or society with a common goal is more ready to make compromises as a community, as well as on an individual level of the community members, we asked whether the returning Jews saw themselves as a community that returned with the greater goal of rebuilding Jewish life in Vienna, or rather as individuals who tried on their own and without any big thought to the broader picture of a Jewish community in Vienna.
Both, and I think when I talk about, in my work, I talk about different waves of returnees that come back in waves that correspond with where they were during the war and what they experienced. And those people who came back immediately, people who were hiding in Vienna or who came back from concentration camps in the first few months, they just came back because what else do you do? You go back to where your family last was and figure things out. But a large group of returnees came from abroad. Many of them for political reasons. They'd been with their political parties in sort of unofficial exile, the Social Democrats and the communists. And they came back with their parties and with their party's guidance that they had to go back and reclaim their Austria. Austria and Austrians were waiting for them to come back and take this role. And so it was for a greater good.
We hoped you liked our little talk with Dr. Elizabeth Anthony and that it clears up some questions about the concept of compromise by inspecting it from a historical as well as from the Holocaust study perspective. We found it most interesting and had a lot of fun conducting this and the other interviews too. Thus, we wanted to once again warmly thank all the people that made it possible for us to have such a great experience. Especially, of course, Dr. Anthony for letting us conduct the interview with her. If you like this interview, feel free to listen to the other ones. And if you want to learn more about genocide studies and compromise, check out our interview with Anna Junger.